91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. At this point in time, you may have picked up on that previous Kyle pick that we gave him a very specific requirement, which may or may not have tied into the multiverse version of Horror Movie Night that was the following day. So, as all things considered, this is Kyle's first true no limitations beyond our normal limitations that we all work within. You can pick anything,
right?
You know, the funny, lighthearted, goofy horror movie night podcast. And Kyle picked a movie that I distinctly remember being controversial pretty much from the second it was released. Stigmata.
Yeah, you know, it still does fall into your thought process from Snakes on a Plane that the third co-host does pick something specific to their taste level and what they want. And again, I did try to tie it into me as a person and what I've explored and what brought me to horror, and this one has a little bit of a story as to why I got to it. So go into Stigmata, and then I will go into Stigmata, and then we'll all get Stigmata together.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm gonna assume that there has to be an element of, you know, of the three of us, Kyle and I have the religion side of things, and you know, there's definitely that element of like these horror films tied to religion definitely have this extra oomph where it's like you're kind of told like, oh, no, you're not allowed to watch The Exorcist. You know, like there's a stigma to things like Stigmata.
Yeah,
I remember that being the case. I remember this coming out and it being kind of a big deal, which is funny because it was also like hate it by the critics. I think at one point I was reading Roger Ebert's review was like, it's the best Catholic comedy in a long time. Like, it's so, like, he's like, it plays so fast and loose with any form of theology that it's insane.
Yeah,
but I avoided this movie for a while. Also, I just like kind of was like, doesn't look like my type of vibe. I didn't see it until college, but I like instantly liked it. mm-hmm. from the second I watched it. Like, yeah. I think that this movie is, it's one of those movies that walks that thin line where there's people who love it too much and make it very overrated, but then there's people who hate it so much that it becomes underrated, when it's like, it's just a perfectly fine
movie,
late 90s horror film.
Yeah. Yeah. No, truly. I wasn't religious at the time of seeing this. So there was a moment of time that this is all I knew about Catholicism was Stigmata.
So you knew everything you ever needed to know Catholicism, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was like, this is, I'm never going to be a Catholic now. Not with Stigmata existing. You know, I watched this movie in seventh grade.
Jesus.
And this is like one of my first sleepover horror movies, actually, which is really weird.
There's the tie-in. I get why this is your first horror movie.
It holds a special place in my heart, because I did claim, I was one of those people who like overhyped it even in seventh grade, claiming it was my favorite horror movie, or my favorite movie, actually, period. Favorite movie, period. On my live journal, I claimed that Stigmata was my favorite movie.
It has to be true if it's on live journal.
It's there forever. Though I tried to log back into my live journal recently, and I can't figure it out. It's a fine movie. It's just kind of there. But in my attention-seeking seventh grade way, I had to pick a favorite movie that, you know, nobody fucking, that was edgy and like, yeah, absolutely. And I watched it at a sleepover at my friend's gay uncle's house. And this was important because I claimed to be, in my attention-seeking ways at the time and misunderstanding both Catholicism and life, apparently, I claimed to be bisexual. So I was very hype to go to a gay man's like house, because in his bathroom, supposedly, there was nude pictures of men. So, and I had to like pretend. It's crazy. As a 30-year-old man, I could suck a dick now and be like, it would be fine. And like, but being 12, like being in seventh grade and claiming to want to, I had no inkling. Like, I had no understanding of it, but it was really just like for the attention. So I was like, we're at this guy's house. He's got nude pictures of men. Like, we're going to watch Stigmata. There were art photos. There wasn't like a weird like porno dungeon.
No, it was in self-portraits all over the wall.
I'm realizing.
12-year-olds were going to be looking at hard cocks at this guy's house.
No, I'm realizing that this sounds like predatory. It was really not. It was really tasteful. But again, I was like, blah, 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 blah.
It was the equivalency of like a horny 12-year-old looking through a National Geographic.
This
essentially.
Is,
you're
dude,
just like, it's to him, it's just decorative art. On. But to like a 12-year-old, it's like, at last,
spot on.
Finally, see very, what this looks like.
Very formative and then like unformative sleepover that I had. For Stigmata, I brought Eclectic Dove. because of the birds.
I thought they were pigeons, and I was like, these are the most like the Catholic. Yeah. Catholics need to have dove. I mean, like, I grew up Catholic,
right?
You know, and my favorite joke is, what do you call an adult Catholic? An atheist.
That's right.
But let me tell you that Stigmata Catholicism is definitely the Kmart of Catholicism, because they have pigeons. They don't have fucking doves.
No.
I like the plan that you had with that, and I'm definitely not trying to crap on, I'm not trying to pigeon poop on your on your beer selection this week.
No,
my friend.
Let me tell you, the one that I wanted that does not exist right now was that there was a company or a brewery called Nightmare Brewing that brewed an IPA with communion wafers, and I was trying so hard to find that for this.
That's incredible.
For this episode.
That is absolutely incredible. I mean, Matt, I know you watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That may come up later in the.
Okay,
what,
so
do we watch this?
Do
week?
We need to like
but
just
yes,
wait?
Yeah.
I mean, like, let me. So, Kyle, do you watch that show at all?
I don't.
Okay, it's a phenomenal show.
I've heard, it's, and you guys have talked about it a couple times, right?
Oh, I mean, okay. I've probably
every time
about
a
it.
Season drops, we discuss.
Yeah,
it.
Like I just, okay, good. And so season 4 just came out and finished up maybe about a month ago at this point. In one scene, Midge Maisel, like the titular character's dad. I mean, they're very Jewish in like 1961 in New York City, and he is. hiding out, and he finds himself in a Catholic church, and he doesn't know anything about it because, you know, super Jewish, right? And so he gets in line, and he's like, I just followed the line. And he goes up, and he's following what everybody else is doing, and then he, like, is given a communion wafer, and he puts it under his tongue, and he's telling the story after he gives back to the apartment. He's like, and he, like, opens up his handkerchief, and he's got the communion wafer. He's like, what do I do with it? It was I think the funniest thing that happened in this season.
We'll talk about it more on the What Did You Watch This Week, but I'm inclined to agree that that is probably the funniest segment of this season for sure.
Yeah, and you know, so as the resident ex-Catholic on this show, I gotta say that, so I saw Stigmata right when it came out on video, mm-hmm. which would have been
probably 2000.
2000? Yeah, like I was in high school.
This was a 99 release. So.
Yeah, I was in high school. I was probably working at the video store and, you know, like watch a screener copy or anything, because I mean, I like
the poster. I'll say that much.
The poster's great. Yeah. But yeah. I just feel like this movie is incredibly offensive for smart people. You know, yeah. Like it's not for religious people. It's not offensive to religious people because, like, I mean, I guess it can be heretical and kind of like taking the piss out of religion. But at the same time, it's just like so offensively stupid because it's so easily, everything's so easily debunked. Like yeah. The whole extra Gospel of Thomas is this secret gospel that is like anathema and no one is allowed to know about it. And it's not even like translated in 1990, let's say 1998 when they're filming this movie.
Right.
So the Gospel of Thomas was discovered and translated in 1945 and no one gave a shit. Like it was such a nothing burger of a thing. And, so I just think that's hilarious that they were like, oh, this is going to blow the doors off of this. You know, I don't know. It's just so dumb.
Well,
it's
they tried to like, it's because it does, it's kind of tacked on at the end. Like we're supposed to like have a eureka moment when in actuality, this whole movie is just a haunted item movie given to a person who does not want to be haunted by such item. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like okay. Now I like that a lot. I like this movie more when you see it through that instead of like the, the, you know, like apocalyptic religious side. Because I hate that shit. Like,
no,
I think
that's what
it pulls
for, and it's not successful. It's like but if you think about it that way, which the first time it was my favorite movie, so this has got to be my 100th time. It's probably maybe my 5th time watching it, tops. Right?
Yeah, it was your favorite movie in name only, in title only.
In name only. When asked the question on the LiveJournal quiz, that was the answer. I don't think I ever proclaimed that to anybody else. But if you think about it like a haunted item movie, and like even with all the Catholicism, like. Background, if you don't lead with that, if you think of it as a haunted item movie, it's fine. It's kind of interesting, even.
It's a lot like more interesting that way.
It's an unwilling participant haunted by a spirit. Like, I mean, I guess all hauntings are unwilling, but like this one's particularly has an extra, like, it's almost Amityville 4.
Like, yeah, no,
Amityville.
This was, I just realized the reason I watched this movie in college was that this movie was another one of the 101 movies you've probably never seen but should from Fangora magazine, and I wanted to like read what their reasoning was for it.
How much did the production team pay Fangoria to put this on the list?
Yeah. No, I would like to know because I don't... 101.
Yeah.
They probably had 100 and someone's like, you know, we need one more. And they're like, I don't know. Let's throw Stigmata in
fucking,
there.
I saw this dude on LiveJournal back in 1999 who said that it was his favorite movie. Let's add that.
He seems like our prime demo.
I will try to find the video that we filmed in college of me being asked those questions by my best friend Evan and then staying like answering them or reading the answers aloud as a 20-year-old person because they're pretty. It's pretty amusing.
So I guess. I mean, I don't have.
I mean,
a ton...
look, it's not the most fun movie, so I appreciate watching.
No. Let me ask you this question because I feel like. Like, you're right, in the sense of there's not a lot for us to, like, really dissect for 45 minutes, you know what I mean? I think it leads to some interesting conversations. I'm curious for the two of you, because for me, religious horror is probably my least favorite type of horror movie, which is not shocking. We all know that I like big-ass fucking, you know, alligator movies and slasher films. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I'm grabbing when I'm in the video store.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got, like, I think the only religious horror I have is, like, I have Stigmata on Blu-ray because Scream Factory sent it to me to review. And I've got, like, the director's cut of The Exorcist, and that's pretty much where my collection begins
and
ends.
Well, that's good that you have it on Blu-ray, because the DVD has no English subtitles, so that was unfortunate.
Kyle, are you a subtitles guy?
Well, more so now that we have a kid, because a lot of those, the way that our living room is set up and a lot of the mixing on some really awful movies that we watch are impossible to watch without being anxious about waking up the kid. The kid's sure, not yeah. going to wake up, but I'm forever anxious about it. So
well, especially, I know what you're talking about.
On.
These yeah. low-budget movies that we sometimes watch, it's like, dialogue-wise, it's Dude. Like, hey, how you doing? And then all of a sudden, it cuts to like music cue. It's like, bap, 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 yeah. bap. Yeah.
Like, and it's what? Always smoke on the water, apparently.
Yeah. Back to my original question. Where do you guys land on religious horror films?
I don't hate it as a sub-genre. It's fine. I think that it's usually pretty boring. But I mean, what comes to mind is good religious horror. I mean, I think that, you know, like The Conjuring, would you consider The Conjuring
no,
religious
I
horror?
No, I consider Haunted House too. Like, I think that there is that thin line between mm-hmm. the two. It's like Amityville even sets this standard where it's like, it's a haunted house movie, but is it also a possession movie? Like, it kind of walks that line.
Well, we're talking like Christianity, right?
We're yes. just talking about Christianity. Okay. Yeah, and I think that because Christianity is kind of passé in America. I mean, like, I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean it in American culture, like it's yeah. ubiquitous. And so
right.
we were literally founded on puritanical principles, and so the ideas of disrespecting Christianity are transgressive, but we're also thankfully at a place where we're not going to shit on other religions either. So I mean, I feel yeah. like, you know, like if you want to get religious horror, you're gonna kind of have to go into foreign markets, and I feel like there are really interesting stories to be told from the perspective of like folk horror, which isn't it is religious horror, but it's not.
I just thought of a religious horror film that I know Scott fucking loves, and I enjoyed for the most part. Saint Maud. Saint Maud is like probably arguably one of the best, oh, in my sure. mind, religious horror films in a while.
Last decade. Yeah, I would yeah. agree. I mean, although, would you consider The Witch a religious horror film? I mean, it's all about
to a
religious
certain
persecution.
Extent, possibly,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, see,
it's just hard because I think that if we're really like laser focusing on what that sub-genre is, we're getting like my two double features. We're getting this movie. We're
right.
getting
yeah.
one of the movies that I'm coming out. I'm going to picking in like a month.
Well, like religion is like such a subjective art form too, right? So like you know it's such a broad spectrum.
But also everybody's afraid of like offending anybody. So right. So I mean, and that's fine. I don't think that we need to have like mm-hmm. a burgeoning religious horror mm-hmm. subgenre. But I do think that it is pretty sparse for a lot of reasons in America.
I think so too. I think you polarize your audience if you do. I mean, Stigmata. Like, I mean, me thinking that I know shit about Catholicism because I watched Stigmata versus Scott, maybe for you, being an ex-Catholic watching Stigmata, so you have a knowledge base.
I was Catholic when I watched it.
Oh, you watched
it
first time. Okay, gotcha.
And I mean, I wasn't, I didn't leave the church. Is that even, that's a gross
yeah,
thing
you
for
just
me
stopped
to even
going.
Say.
Yeah.
I stopped going when I went to college mm-hmm. and I was always very skeptic.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and I
sure.
wanted to have science make sense with the book, you know,
yeah,
like,
right.
And I would ask my mom questions, like, as soon as I was old enough to understand things like evolution and dinosaurs and, you know, like the speed of light and the size of the universe and the Big Bang, all those things, I was kind of like asking my mom questions. She's like, I don't have the answer for you. And I wanted yeah. so badly. And I think I mentioned this actually in the Amityville episode. If not the Amityville episode, it was the Patreon connected to it. But I wanted so badly to believe in the supernatural. And I wanted things to happen, you know? Like, I just wanted right. things to be as cool in real life as they were in, like, the fiction that I consumed, and nothing has ever happened. And so that also kind of was the nail in the coffin for me. One of the nails in the coffin.
So the way I see it, a few quick things to tackle. First of all, I had to chuckle because I'm thinking about really classifying any religious film as where the priest is the hero of the movie. Theoretically, if he survived till the end, I would have to argue that like Dead Alive is a religious horror movie. No, but you know what I mean? Like what does Stigmata and The Exorcist really have in common? Because those are the movies I think of when I think of like what my version of religious horror is. Right. And it's like common innocent person possessed by some demonic power, and only a priest can come and save the day. Like,
you know what the most fucked up thing about these two examples, and I think that it kind of might be the main conceit of religious, like Christian religious horror, is that there's an innocent who doesn't believe, and then they are forced to believe because they're then pitted in this like grand scheme between God and the devil, and that's fucking stupid. Like,
yeah, no,
that's completely takes away the whole point of like a quote unquote innocent person being involved, because it's basically twisting their arm into changing. They're like, it's like, we will break you if you don't change your thought process. And that, I think that might be why it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And like, I didn't hate my watch of Stigmata, but I literally watched it to gawk at late 90s fashion, because this movie is just a display, you know, like it is.
Frankie Page's ring is as big as the ring from the Mummy's tomb.
I fucking have a note that said it looks like a lemon lime ring pop. Yeah, oh my God.
For sure. It's huge.
Can we also talk about what
were they thinking?
Most of this soundtrack is like if there was a rave version of the Pure Mood CD. Like,
did anybody see who did the music?
No,
who did the music?
Billy fucking Corgan.
Really?
Even if you read it like in the credits like I did, I forgot by the second song. Nothing says Billy Corgan about any of this.
Because I actually have a note that says the beginning is like the you know, that when they're doing the intro credits, like the intro scroll, it's like the Lord's Prayer, and it goes into Kmart Elastica. That's exactly what it sounds like to me, you know? Like, and that doesn't scream Billy Corgan to me. If it was
you have to remember, here's the thing you have to remember is it does make sense when you remember that this is the exact same time period of Smashing Pumpkins, where they've just released Adore, which was like completely people hated that. And then he followed it up with the double album of Machina, the Machines of the God, which just further was like this almost techno-y religious album. So this totally checks out that in 1999, this is what Billy Corgan's up to.
I didn't realize people didn't like Adore. Damn.
I mean, I liked a song off of it, but it's not.
Maybe that's what I do too. Maybe that's it's had a
resurgence, because I think it was one of those. It's one of those classic examples of a band establishing that they sound like one certain way, and then putting out an album that sounds the antithesis of that, and then everyone hating it right out the gate. And then, like, years later, you go into it knowing that it sounds nothing like what you're used to that band sounding. And then you're like, oh, this isn't as bad as I remembered.
And I think that it's nostalgia being like, I want more of this nostalgia from my childhood. But, like, it would be nearly impossible for any band to follow up the success of Melancholy. I mean, it 100%. Was. Yeah. And also, by 98, 99... that style of music is fucking done, you know? And even trying to do the electronica.
Creed at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and how could you?
Hard rock. Oh, man. He wants to take you higher, or he wants you to take him higher.
Yeah. Dude, with arms wide open, dude.
I don't feel bad for Billy Corgan at all for doing this, but do you guys, this is a little twist here. Did you read up on what the original title of this movie was going to be?
No.
No, I missed that.
St. Francis of Pittsburgh.
Oh, no.
Which is like...
I think Stigmata is the better name.
So bad.
They made the right choice.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, it's also... It gives me this slapstick religious comedy, like... Mm-hmm. The gods must be crazy kind of thing.
Yeah.
I almost would have loved to see... I mean, it also... What transgression did Gabriel Byrne do that required him to, like, what favor was called in for this movie?
Right.
Dude. St. Francis of Pittsburgh.
Nothing screams Pittsburgh like, about that movie at all until they literally say
except
that
for
they're
the, until they say that they're in Pittsburgh. But St. Francis of Pittsburgh sounds like a Mars Volta song title.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, we didn't really dive into the movie itself, but we kind of did at the exact same time.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Yeah,
Frankie looks like Bret Michaels at one point with the bandana that she's wearing.
Brutal.
It's really crazy. And then, I think it was just Gabriel Byrne really did have to
he almost won the Razzie for worst acting and
worst supporting actor. It was him for both this and End of Days that came out.
That's
the same
right, because he was in both, which is fucking hilarious.
Oh, dude, what a terrible downfall.
But he lost to Ahmed Best for Phantom Menace.
Yeah, yeah, well, Jar Jar Binks.
They're the best. I do think about that eye exam scene often, where she gets air blown into her eyeball. Mm-hmm. I think about that like way more than I thought I did until I was shown it again. And I was like, every time I go to
it. Yeah, you and Matt have fucking astigmatisms.
Mm-hmm. I hate that exam.
That's
me with
that. That's not what this movie's about.
Astigmatism.
Kyle, we should 100% make a fake trailer that is almost shot for shot the Stigmata trailer, but it's about bad eye vision.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, the vibe of it, you're absolutely right about the late 90s fashion, like, weird vibes. Oh, God. It was so great.
Like,
I love it.
They saw the
I realize I have a
the
type
rave
because,
scene.
Yeah.
They saw the rave scene at the beginning of Blade, and they were like, do you think that we could get all those costumes and use them again?
Dude, I'm realizing that I have a type of style of movie that I think is good for the show, because now I realize my next pick really vibes in with this as
I
well
know. And I've made my picks vibe with you and Matt.
Summer of love, baby.
Yes.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
All right, so Kyle, let's talk about your double feature on this bad boy. You picked this. What are you? You're at the video store. What's the other movie you're grabbing with Stigmata?
So, also going along with Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. I don't need to explain this. I think that
they're
they're
the same movie.
The same visually in my mind,
costumes.
They're the same movie, same character, even though they're not. Stigmata's serious but still like has moments of levity and fun, right? Blair Witch is the opposite, where it's like much more fun, but there are like weird serious like jabs that they take, and they both in my mind look exactly the same. So that's what I'm picking, Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows.
All right, Scott.
So if I was really going for a bit, I would go, I would say I'm going to watch St. Francis of Pittsburgh and then St. Francisville Experiment. But I don't have that much time on my hands. I don't ever want to watch that movie again. I'm so sorry, Matt, that I put you through that because it's really bad, really bad.
I put you through worse, I'm sure. So
I mean, now, but at the time, it was definitely me abusing you and our friendship. And I feel like we are much closer to the scales heavily in your favor now. But yeah, I'm going to go with a another movie that is absolutely Catholic horror, and that's Constantine, which is a very fun movie to watch, but is an absolute travesty of a film adaptation of a really great comic book. So we will put a pin in that conversation for probably this fall, because it's coming down the pipeline, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And I'm going to kind of go more in the vein of where Kyle went, where it's like, as far as plot goes, not really the same movie at all. But as far as a time and a place and an overall vibe.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah. The whole time I was watching this, I just kept thinking of Strangeland for some reason.
Oh,
like,
God.
It kind of gives me some real Strangeland vibes. All right, Kyle, what have you watched recently that you want to talk about?
I went to go see X.
Oh, yes.
And I won't say too much, but I'm surprised at how many theaters it's in. And if it's near you, well, actually, I guess this will, it's probably gone by the time this comes out.
Might
but,
be in the $2 theaters by this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you can spend $2, I highly recommend it. Ty West is just really awesome. I really like not only the films that he's put out, but the story of him as a filmmaker, as an artist, you know, like where he's come from, where he went, where he's been the past like 10 years, like just making TV and, you know, just cranking that stuff out. And then what he's done with X. It fits right into his filmography. It fits right into a lot of things that I think our listeners will like. Don't read too much about it, but also, like, if you do, I don't think it's really spoiling anything. I think that you can still enjoy that experience and that movie. I just, you know, I like to go in more blind than not, but it's worth a watch. So go see X.
I only watched one of these three parts, but I literally just finished part one about 10 minutes before we hit record. So the Beatles Get Back, yes, essentially you are just watching three, as well, I haven't seen part two and three, so maybe things change, but I don't think they do. You're essentially watching 3 2.5 hour long band rehearsals. But what is charming and interesting about it to me is that you are watching arguably the most important band in history at the peak of their popularity, having a band practice that looks exactly like a band practice that a bunch of 16-year-old friends in high school would have. And it kind of is this, like, it is this beautiful, like, level set where it's like you could be the Beatles or you could be a bunch of kids forming a band for the first time, and it doesn't change that your band practice is still like 90% you dicking around and doing silly voices while playing the same song over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's like there is something really wholesome about that aspect of it.
That's cool.
But all right. Let's talk Maisel. I'll say right now, probably I liked this season, but I also think it was probably my least favorite season of the four.
It felt short to me. Mm-hmm. I think that season two, that's when they're in the Catskills, right?
Yeah.
That has to be the funniest and my most favoritist season. I just think it was just phenomenal. I really liked where they went with season four. So season five is the final season. Everybody who watches probably knows that. And, you know, and I like that it's got an end point, because I fucking hate when shows just get canceled and there's no... I hate when shows are canceled that do not have some sort of goal in mind. And I feel like after season one was such a massive hit, they were like, okay, I know what the character arc is, and they're gonna get there. And I think I know what the character arc is, and I am going to be very satisfied if they do that.
Season four, Midge is in the wrong 90% of this season.
Not just this season. That's almost
this season specifically. It was even more like, because her handling, we won't get into the whole thing, but like the way she handled things with Shy Baldwin, and then in the end it was still her guilting Shy for cutting her out, like, really set bad with me more than anything else she's ever done.
Like, yes, and that's the drama side of it, but the comedic side of her being an asshole is when she's on the, when she gets an opportunity to be on TV and she just has to swallow her pride and she can't even do it. And yep. So for me, what I see the show being is the hero's journey is not Midge, it's her manager. You know, like the whole point is that Midge is going to get left behind because she can't get her shit straight. Susie has the hero's journey. She's, I think. I mean, that would sit well with me.
As long as Susie ends up happy, trying. I'm happy.
Well, like, Susie's never going to be happy. That's her. That's the whole conceit of the character. But Midge is just so short-sighted that I think that what's going to happen is she's just going to always be mediocre. I don't think that she's going to continue to work at the strip club. I think she's just going to just not be a comedian anymore.
Yeah.
Things flourish around Midge because Midge is cow shit. Like, she is things that people don't want, but good things follow in her wake because she's pushy, I guess.
Yeah.
If I can make that metaphor almost, you know, like, because she showed up and the club was an absolute hole and she was like, this is unacceptable because it was bad for her, you know? And so she was like, she dragged the club into a legitimized version of what is still an illegal activity. I think that that's going to be echoed with, you know, like, her manager is going to succeed. Midge is not. I don't know if Joel's going to succeed in his life. I don't really even want to get into that because there are a million ways that that could go, and I will be probably unhappy with all of them just because Joel is a very polarizing character for me, and it depends on the episode that I'm watching whether or not I want him to be happy or absolutely miserable.
At the end of the day, I think we'll both say still check out Marvelous Mrs. Maisel season 4.
Oh, hell yeah. Right? It's a great show, and it looks cool even if you don't. I mean, if you like costumes and some jokes. It's
like at the very baseline. If you like costumes and some jokes, that's a good show. Okay, that's good. I mean, I'm on board. I forgot to tell you guys quickly that my pastor is from Pittsburgh. So you know, I texted him and was like, "Hey, dude, did you know that Stigmata takes place in Pittsburgh?" And he was like, "Yeah, like
everybody knows that, Kyle.
Every priest knows that, you fucking asshole, bro. Don't ever come back to my church."
Dude, he goes, "Yes, Pittsburgh rules." And then he goes, "Stigmata, though, biased religiously, of course. That's one of the best out of the city." And I was like, and then he asked if I ever heard of Monkey Shines. So I know I'm in pretty decent company with that guy.
You know. Man, is Pittsburgh like a specific religious place? Because my church pastor is also originally
from
Pittsburgh.
Is that right? I don't know what's going on over there, man. Steel and Jesus, I guess.
Yeah, that's all they got.
That's all they got down there.
What do you think they made the nails from?
That's true. It came from Pittsburgh Steel. There we go. All right. On that
awfully sacrilegious.
Yeah, if anybody was wondering if I was going to hell,
nah, boom, there fine. You go. We laugh, so we're going to join you. Yeah, all right. So that was Stigmata from 1999, as picked by Kyle. Next week. Guys, it's episode 350 next week.
What?
Absurd. I can't believe I've been here for all 350. I'm so honored.
It's sad that we've had not one but two co-hosts that get to make that joke.
Oh, that's amazing. 350 is awesome.
Yeah, and we're going to pick a classic movie, another one of fitting in with the theme of how did we not talk about this in the first 349 episodes. We're talking about a cinematic classic, and who knows, maybe an old friend will come and join us for it too.
Or a blood relative even.
Who knows? Who knows? We're all brothers here. We'll be back with more Horror Movie Night.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are FemRegard Podcast.
Fem.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Fem Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.